This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
For the idea is to, you know, when you wind them or you send them on a, you know, you send them down the river without a paddle, for example, as the saying goes, that you ask them to do something and they think, what was going on? Mm-hmm. And then you've mocked them. You kind of stay away from these things. You have to be very careful when you do things. Be very tactful. But those who are tactful and donors who don't lie and do it halal, these are always the best jokes. But if you fall into haram, then you know there's a problematic. I mean,
Barakallah fi Shaykhana, Jazakallah khair. Next question we have, which I'm gonna have to show you the photo, inshallah, just in case you might want to understand, inshallah. Shaykhana, so the first question starts with Assalamu alaykum. When I do my wudu and I read my salah, after my salah I wear my night slippers on my feet for the next salah. I do wudu again, but I don't wash my feet. I take my slippers off and wipe over my feet. Is that valid? Please advise. And this is the slippers we're talking about, the night slippers.
They want to wipe over that?
No, they wear it and they take it off and then they wipe over their feet. So after
they're wearing socks, are they?
No.
Nothing? Okay, we'll explain this. So the viewers are thinking, oh, I want to see what they look like.
Yeah, actually, maybe the brothers can put it as a graphic.
It's just like an open slipper.
No.
It's just an open slipper.
Home slippers, isn't it?
Yeah,
the fabric one.
Yeah, that's right. So this kind of slipper doesn't cover your ankle. It doesn't. No. It's like an open slipper. You can see the top of your foot. No. So if you've washed your feet and you then prayed, whatever you prayed, and then you they go to sleep in that slipper, they say?
No. Okay. They just put the night slippers on.
Right, yeah. So
for the next salah,
there you are.
They perform wudu again because they've broken the wudu.
Yeah. But this time you'd have to take that. You have to take that off. That slipper, you take it off because it's not considered a sock that you can wipe over.
Sure.
So you'd have to wash your foot. You'd have to wash your foot.
So you have to wash your foot.
You'd have to wash your foot.
She's asking, can I take my slippers off and wipe over?
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. No.
Okay. So it has
if you were wearing socks.
No.
But if it's just your bare foot, then you can't just wipe over your bare foot in any circumstance.
Sure.
No.
Barakallahu fiqh Shaykhana. Next question we have. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just want to know if there are any ruling on makeup. Jazakum Allahu khairan.
You can write like, you can do a lecture on using makeup. I mean, makeup is, if sisters want to use makeup for beautification at the right time, then no problem, inshallah ta'ala. It's good to be more specific with regards to the makeup. It's okay.
And not long ago, I think I was reading about makeup itself, because we started getting these questions a lot in the show. Uh-huh. And that made me think twice, and I thought, I need to know more about it. The reason, how did makeup come across in the first place? But obviously we can't say it in our show here, but it started in the wrong way. There's a reason behind it. Uh-huh. Just, not just to beautify yourself, but there's a reason why they beautify in certain places where it comes up, the lips and stuff.
Right.
So I think from that side of
So the use of makeup, fair enough. So the use of makeup is permissible. Mm. What's that based upon? Okay, well you claim that's permissible. We say al-asl al-ashya' al-ibaha. That the origin of things is permissibility.
Right.
Okay. Unless we find evidence to state otherwise.
Sure.
So we don't find anything prohibiting the use of makeup if it's used in the wrong way. And then you go on to other issues.
Sure.
If you're using makeup in a way which, as I mentioned, it covers what I just said, using it in the wrong way, then you're not allowed to use it. But other than that, it's allowed for you to use, sisters for use to makeup.
Is there age limit Islamically?
Again, there's not something which it's not specified as to what age you're allowed to use makeup. But there's a time that, amongst themselves, parents and things, that they would understand culturally what's acceptable for using makeup. So if you find they go to parties and things like that, they would use makeup. You have to be careful, and you should also bear in mind the element of being bashful, and not. I was going to say that we're letting yourself go in terms of what you're going to wear, but we don't want to put too many restrictions. But people should be responsible. Allah a'lam.
Barakallahu fi Shaykhana, Jazakallah khair. We have a caller, inshallah. Let's take the first caller of the day. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Ask Iman. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Sister, you are live in Ask Iman. What is your question?
I just want to check with the Sheikh. When I fasted, yesterday, Monday, Sunnah day, and 20 minutes before breaking my fast, I see my menses just 20 minutes before breaking my fast, before Maghrib, and I see my menses, if that is, if I have to make it up, or is it counted?
And is this the month of Ramadan or just generally?
No, general sunnah fasting.
طيب خير إن شاء الله. Barakallahu fiqh. Do you have any other question?
Or even if it was Ramadan one, yeah. What to do?
طيب أبشر. No worries.
Vice versa.
Barakallahu fiqh.
Thank you for that.
So the question, Shaykhana, is in regards to the sister performing her sunnah fast, which is Monday or Thursday, and then 20 minutes before she breaks her fast, she realizes that time of the month has kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
So does she? What does she do now?
Yeah, so this happens, my sister's fasting, and during the day, no matter what time during the day that the menses starts, that then invalidates the fast.
Mm-hmm.
So the day doesn't count. If it's just a sunnah fast, it's not something you need to make up. You know, you just weren't able to make it up. If it's it was a day that you're making up for the month of Ramadan, then that day would still remain in your account for you to make up in the future.
And do you get the same reward?
No, there's no reward because you didn't complete the day. So the door, the day is you know needs to be made up. No.
Okay. Barakallahu fi Shaykhana. We have another question here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As Muslim, can we buy and sell logos that restrict us in wearing as a Muslim when it comes to salawat?
Yeah.
40 seconds.
With regards to the logos and things like that, maybe we can answer that after the break. But just to the previous question, if you don't mind. Right. I mean, if a person has done most of the day and things that will Allah reward them, Allah knows best. I can't say there's no reward for you. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give you something.
Sure.
You know, Allahu A'lam.
Because I was going to get into it, because obviously the 20 minutes she's mentioned. But khair. Barakallahu fiqh, Shaykhana, for clarifying that. Brothers and sisters, please join us after that break, inshallah, for more of Ask Iman. So hopefully, inshallah, brothers and sisters, you probably heard me asking the question before now, before we actually go for that break. And that's in regards to, I forgot it myself.
Logos.
The logos. Tawfiq khair, inshallah. So join us after that break, inshallah, where the Shaykh will be able to answer it. For me and the Shaykh for now, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome back to your show, Ask Iman. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to remind you, inshallah, of the number that you need to call into the studio here, inshallah, is 0203-515-0769. And that's for you to pick up your phone and call us live here and ask us your question, bi-ithnillah. And for those of you, brothers and sisters, who prefer to pick up their phone and send us messages, please remember the details that you need to know, whether it's via email or WhatsApp that you need to send it. The details that you need to know, inshallah, is on the left-hand side of your screen. Brothers and sisters, if you're living overseas, if you want to call us live here as well, you can always use our WhatsApp number, inshallah, and you will see that on your screen, bi-ithnillah. Tab Sheikhana, before the ad break, we were asking in regards to designing logos. That is not permissible. It's not permissible as in Islam for us to wear or to actually have on or wear when we are performing our salat. What is Islamic ruling in regards to that? So we're talking about people. This specifically is in regards to someone who designs logos.
Okay. So anything that would have things that would have a soul, like drawing pictures, you should avoid. Anything or signs of which would be contrary to Islamic teachings. This is what comes to my mind. Other than that, you're free to design what you like. I mean, what the things that you should stay away from are restricted. You know, like drawing pictures, as I mentioned, things that have a soul, human beings or animals, stay away from that.
Gothic design.
The things which represent things that are contrary to Islam. So things that are to do with shaitan and things like, yeah, obviously stay away from that.
Right.
Okay. Or symbols that are known to be contrary to Islamic teachings, you should stay away from that.
But some might argue and say, well, we don't know how shaitan looks like and what he believes in, and do you know what I mean? Like, because now we have this picture in our head that shaitan has got two horns in his head and he's red and he's got a tail. So, do you know what I mean? So all this type of ideas that we have, or the perception that we have of a shayateen or Iblis, is not exactly what we are seeing in illustration. So if somebody creates something that he believes is a gothic look, would that be sinful as well? I'm thinking of
so yeah, I mean, that's fine, that's good, that's okay. What I would say is that if a person is a designer and they're not sure of something, present it to a person of knowledge. They can have a look at it for you, inshallah ta'ala, and maybe give you the red, green or amber on it.
Right. Come to you tomorrow. طب خير شيخنا, we have another question here. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Is it haram to hit the face?
Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ told us to اتق الوجه, they should fear, you should not hit the face.
No.
So yeah, it's not allowed for us to hit anybody in the face. Wallahu a'lam.
طب what about if you are going, for example, in training and they're teaching a self-defense class?
That being the case, because we move on to the next topic of boxing and things like that, it's not allowed for you to hit the face. It's not allowed for you to hit the face. No. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't hit the face. I can't sit here and say, yeah, go and hit the face for certain circumstances. You can't hit the face. No.
Barakallahu fi Shaykh. Jazakallah khair. We have another question, inshallah. And this is in regards to salah, performing salah, Shaykh, inshallah. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If I enter a masjid and the musallin are performing salat al-jama'ah and I want to pray tahiyyat al-masjid, what do I put my priority first, tahiyyat al-masjid or the jama'ah?
The Prophet ﷺ said in a sound, authentic hadith, either uqimat al-salah, if the iqama is made for the congregational prayer, fala salata illa al-maktuba, and that there is no other prayer that should be prayed or established except the congregational prayer.
No.
So if a person enters the masjid, they do not pray anything else except that they join the jama'ah. And if a person enters the masjid and they're praying sunnah prayers or they're praying tahiyyatul masjid, this is khilaf sunnah. This is not for, yeah, it goes against the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam. So a person should be advised if they do that. Maybe they don't know. You know, you say in a nice way, advise them in the best way. But when a person enters the masjid and the congregational prayer is established, you join the congregational prayer immediately.
Barakallahu fiq, Shaykhana. Next question we have, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How long is the iddah?
The iddah, or the waiting period for a woman, it really depends on the reason for that. There's not just one iddah.
No.
There's the iddah of a woman who, if she's been divorced and she has a menstrual cycle, then her iddah is thalathatu quru. Then she has to complete 3 menstrual cycles. If she has no menstrual cycle, maybe she's reached the age of past menopause, then her iddah will be 3 months.
No.
If a person, a woman who has her husband has passed away, then her iddah will be 4 months and 10 days, according to Islamic calendar. And if a woman who has requested the khul'ah, dissolution of the marriage, and the husband agrees to that khul'ah, then her iddah will be 1 menstrual cycle. So it really depends what iddah.
Oh, dear. Okay. Subhanallah. No. I thought iddah just covers majority of...
There's another iddah as well. Let's say a woman who is pregnant, and while pregnant, divorce happens. The husband would divorce her. Mm. Then her iddah would be until she gives birth. Whatever duration left in the pregnancy, until the day she gives birth, that will be the length of her iddah.
Oh, so the divorce doesn't fall until she gives birth? I thought divorce is not accepted.
No. If a woman is pregnant, then divorce can occur. Yes, it can.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And her iddah will be until she gives birth.
Barakallahu feek, Shaykhana. Next question we have is in regards to leaflets in Shaykh. It says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Is leaflet with images allowed to come inside the masajid?
Okay, so leaflets with people's faces on it, I would say it's, if at all possible, to leave them outside the masjid in the reception area or an area outside the masjid. You should try to keep pictures outside of the masjid. Sure. Okay, so. Leafleting is important to display people's different projects and so on. And if people want to, distribute that amongst the musallin, the people at the masjid, then you can do it outside. But, it's better not to distribute, if at all possible, with the pictures inside the masjid.
No. I agree. Barakallahu feek, Shaykh. I've got something that I'll ask a question in regards to a certain masjid I've been to, and you see, for example, a sign that says fire exit. And you see people, they go to the extent of colouring the figure. Some of them, they will cut the neck. Some of them, they will scratch the top head. Mm. What is Islamic ruling when it comes to, we all know fire has a sign. It's a must that we should have by law.
Yeah, sure.
So Islamically, are we allowed to tamper with it?
Yeah, so because it's a silhouette, which is an outline of a person, this doesn't constitute a detailed drawing of a human being. Mm-hmm. So therefore, wouldn't come under a prohibition because it's just like an outline.
Right.
So there would be, if it depends on where you're praying or the masjid, if you have some exit doors which happen to be at the side of the masjid, for example, there's no need for you to start scratching it or damaging it, or, it sounds really kind of extreme. You start decapitating, you start removing the head. But there's no need to do that because it's just a silhouette.
Sure.
And the musallin, or the people in the who attend the masjid, it's not their responsibility to do things like that. If a person has an issue, then they should contact the administration of the masjid and raise that issue with them. Mm-hmm. And then the administration can then seek advice of people of knowledge as to, okay, what do we do? Mm-hmm. And, if you were asked, they said, there's no need for you to do anything, really. You can just leave it. And then you inform the musallin. Ah. Because maybe the musallin thinks, oh, you're bringing pictures into the masjid. Maybe people don't know.
Right.
So then you can give them information and then they can be calm, inshallah.
Barakallahu feek, Shaykh. And we have another question which I've come across before. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. What advice can you give the imams who give khutbah without wearing a kufiya?
Okay, so with regards to the khutbah and delivering the khutbah on a Friday, it is a very special honor. You are fulfilling what the Prophet alayhi salam began at the very beginning of Islam in delivering the khutbah. And it has responsibilities. There may be communities where if the imam didn't wear the kulfi or the taqiyya or the hat, if he didn't wear that, then the community doesn't really have much of an issue with that. Because we're not talking about that, whether your prayer is valid or not. If you didn't cover your head, your prayer is still valid, of course.
No.
But then there may be certain communities who are used to, they're used to when the imam delivers the khutbah, that he presents himself in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it is upon the imam to kind of be aware of his community. If he's visiting a community, for example, maybe in his own community, he doesn't wear one.
Right.
But then you go to a new community and you turn up not wearing one, and the people, the musallin, are like, well, what was this? It's like he's not taking the khutbah serious.
Right.
So it's upon the visiting imam to kind of find out what people are used to, mm-hmm. and fall into that. So that, you don't create fitna amongst the people. Okay, so this is extremely important that, you know, you want the people to be listening to your khutbah and, you know, thanking you at the end for your khutbah, mm-hmm. and not coming up to you and asking you, why didn't you wear a hat? Okay, so as an imam, as a khatib, your responsibility to understand the community that you're delivering the sermon to.
I didn't know it's a big issue of khatibs. Is it that big, to that extent, that bad?
Wearing the hat?
No, I mean like, yeah, I mean like the, you have to think of what to wear before you go on.
Oh, no, no, 100%, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's not, you know, a khatib is not just there just to deliver a sermon in what he thinks. Is he needs to understand his people. Right. He needs to understand every the people that are sitting there and listening to him. It's important for him to deliver a message to the people that they will benefit from that for the week.
No.
Because maybe some of these people only attend once a week.
No.
So if you turn up on the minbar and deliver a message and then the people leave without being affected, then you've done a disservice to your responsibility that's given to you.
Barakallahu feek, Shaykh Hana, may Allah reward you. Brothers and sisters, please join us after the break, inshallah, for more Ask Iman. Please remember the numbers 0203-515-0769. For me and the Shaykh for now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My dear brothers and sisters, welcome back to your show Ask Iman. Brothers and sisters, please remember you can always pick up your phone and call us here and ask us any question in regards to your deen inshallah. We're going through so much the questions that we're going through in WhatsApp inshallah, and we are benefit from the questions that we're getting from our brothers and sisters, but it will be nice inshallah for you brothers and sisters to pick up your phone and call us live and ask us your question. Remember brothers and sisters, the reward that you get is immense. for every answer that Sheikh gives, inshallah, we can all get the reward bi-idhnillah. Sheikhana, we have a question here. In regards to, did we have any questions before? We did actually before the break, sir. And like we said, we're going to continue with after that break, right? Is that correct? I'll ask. I think there was no. Actually, wasn't.
We did. We did the logo before. You
see? No, that was answered. That was answered. خلاص. طيب خير inshallah. Sheikhana, we got more questions inshallah. But before I do that, inshallah, let's take this caller so that we don't keep anybody waiting. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome, Taski man.
Wa alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Hayyak Allah, sister, you're live and ask you, man, what is your question?
Okay, JazakAllah khairan. I just wanted to check if this can be categorized as backbiting or not. I'm currently studying counseling and I'm at a stage in my course where we do different processes in college.
Yep.
We sort of discuss these feelings, and sometimes I find myself having to share some of my experiences or maybe how I have experienced someone or certain people.
Right.
An encounter with, and not necessarily, sometimes they are not necessarily a pleasant one. So I always feel bad afterwards because I'm not sure if it is, you know, categorized as backbiting or not. So I just wanted some clarity. JazakAllah khairan.
I need some clarity myself, Sheikh.
Okay. Right. So on this issue, if a person is seeking counseling on an issue and somebody wronged you and you're in a position where you are going through, you need to get over or get through the situation that has gone happened to you. Now, if at all possible, you are able to explain the situation without mentioning people's names, then that would be that should be the first point of call, not to mention people's names. If you can describe that, you know, that so and so did something to me, and I feel I was wronged, I was treated badly. Maybe I responded wrong to that. The point of what I'm saying is that there is a goal behind mentioning the situation.
No.
Meaning that this is what happened and this is how I reacted to that situation. And the view or your intention is to better understand what happened, or for you to in future have a better reaction, or how you're going to approach that person in the future. There's a positive.
No.
There's a positive reason for mentioning that. It's not just negativity, just mentioning news that happened for absolutely no reason. If it's part of one's treatment, if we're going through counselling, and there's a positive outcome, or there's a positive objective, then this is not considered backbiting.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have the hudud or the boundaries of the sharia, you're not mentioning things unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. You're not mentioning people's names, if at all possible. But if you take this approach, then it's fine for you to mention what is necessary concerning situation. Allahu a'lam.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. We've got next call, inshallah. Let's take next call, brothers. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Ask Iman.
Assalamualaikum, sorry. I just had two questions, please. Well, actually, one was a question about wudu, and the other one was just a clarification about the sister who asked about dentistry. So I think she asked regarding, this is not Islamic opinion, but I think she asked about showing your sleeves. And I'm actually a dental student myself. And I just want to say that you can actually get sleeves that you put on over your clothes. So you can get disposable sleeves, and they should provide them where she's studying or any kind of hospital environment. I know a lot of sisters don't know that you can get sleeves to cover your arms.
Barakallahu feek. May Allah reward you, inshallah, sister, for sharing this. Because obviously this is the purpose of our show, inshallah. It's for us to benefit one another, because obviously certain things that we do not know the answer to, obviously because we give a generic answer, whether Islamically or not, but with this type of things, obviously, because you're studying it, you're more knowledgeable in what where you can actually get the stuff from. Barakallahu fiki for sharing it. But what's your question, the first one?
Sorry, someone asked my mum that, you know, when you're doing wudu and you're washing your feet, she was saying, do you have to use your left hand or your right hand to do it, or can you just use any hand when you're doing your feet?
Very good question. Barakallahu fiki.
Thank you.
Barakallahu feek. May Allah reward you. Tab Sheikhra, in regards to wudu, when you are making wudu and you're washing your feet, do you use your left or the right, or does it matter?
طيب, so concerning washing your feet, do you have to use your right hand for your right foot or your left foot, or your right hand or your left hand for your left foot? Or can you use one for the other? it's up to you. There isn't any specific way that you have to do that. It's narrated that the Prophet ﷺ would use his small finger in going in between his toes to ensure that the water would reach all parts of the foot. Okay, so it is not a must for you to use right for right, left for left. If you use to right to do both or left for both, then that's up to you.
And when it comes to the small finger?
But the small finger is narrated, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter either, because I've seen pictures as well, right? Mm-hmm. That when you're going through the toes on your foot, you see numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What? And this is the order you're supposed to do. This is, has no basis.
I know. So there's no order.
No, there's no specific order as to which toe you should begin with.
Right.
There's nothing authentic concerning that.
Sure.
Okay. So whatever, even if you put all four fingers like this and in between your toes like that, that's okay as well. Just to ensure that the water has reached all of your foot. Allahu a'lam.
Barakallahu fik, Sheikh. Next question we have. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How can we talk without getting angry? Forgive me, Sheikh. Sorry.
Yeah, but so just imagining with the four fingers like this. Subhanallah. Tayyib, I mean, with regards to anger, it's how do you not become angry? This isn't strictly. I mean, you know, the Prophet ﷺ helped us, gave us some practical examples that if a person becomes angry, what do we do? A person who's standing, sit down. Okay, if you're sitting down and you're in, go to another place, change your environment, go to make wudu. These are practical things that you can do which will help you deal with the anger that may come to you. Prior to that, how to stop yourself becoming angry? You know, this is more of a kind of a psychological question, which I'm not, you know, it's not my speciality.
No.
But, you know, try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. You know, try to control your emotions and not allow situations to get out of hand at the beginning. This kind of general advice I can give. Wallahu a'lam.
Barakallahu fiqh, Shaykh. And we have another question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Can a baby be called Malik?
Yes, you can. Malik means, it's like owner.
No.
Yeah, so I mean,
on its own.
On its own, yeah. I mean, it's and its understanding in its ownership of. It's restricted. It's not al, you know, Maliki Yawmi, that when Allah is the owner of the Day of Judgment.
No.
If somebody's Malik, it's permissible, inshallah ta'ala.
طيب خلاص بارك الله فيك شيخنا. This is another question we have. I think from we get this every now and then, but obviously now we're getting it more often. In regards to Day of Judgment, some people are asking, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We know the signs of the Day of Judgment are getting closer and closer and closer. Do we need to do a lot of nawafil prayers?
Yeah, so not just because of Yawm al-Qiyamah coming closer, but our death is coming closer. Mm-hmm. The time, our appointment for us leaving this worldly life is by the minute, by the second, by the minute, by the hour, by the day, by the week, by the month, by the year, is getting closer and closer and closer and closer. So increase in your ibadah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Increase in nawafil, in whether that's nawafil fasts, nawafil prayers, nawafil sadaqah, whatever voluntary acts of worship that you can do, then do as much as you can, whatever is easy for you. No. Wallahu a'lam.
Barakallahu fiqh, Shaykhana. Is there anything as a Muslim, sorry, this is another question, assalamu alaikum. Is there anything as a Muslim that we can do to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For us, whenever we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything, He will give.
So, you know, when we make dua, we must realize, when we make supplications, not everything that you ask for, you'll get.
No.
Because not necessarily everything you ask for is good for you.
Sure.
So the Prophet ﷺ informed us that when a person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fundamentally know that Allah jalla wa ala hears your dua. Every single creature, every human being on earth who has a need, whether they say it or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of your needs.
No.
Now, but you as an abd, when you raise your hand and you say, oh Allah, I want this and I want that, Allah, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, that maybe Allah jalla wa ala will decree that matter for you immediately and you get what you are asking for. Or maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give it to you because it is not good for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows and you don't know. So if you're constantly making dua and it doesn't happen, you don't get it, alhamdulillah. Maybe Allah knows something that I don't know.
Sure.
For sure. Allah knows something I don't, and alhamdulillah. Or thirdly, that what you're asking for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves that for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah Azza wa Jalla delays the answering of your supplication to the Day of Judgment, maybe when you need it most. Okay, so it's important for us to understand the concept of when we make dua, these are the possible outcomes for us. It may be the outcome as well that maybe there are, I'm involved in some form of haram, true, which is preventing my dua from being answered. So then I look at myself, and if I'm doing something in haram, I stay away from that and avoid that, so that I can ensure, inshallah ta'ala, my dua is being answered. Wallahu ta'ala alam.
Barakallahu fiqh, Shaykhana, for being here, and may Allah reward you for every step you've taken to be here with us, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to thank you as well for taking part on the show, whether it's by calling us or watching us, inshallah. For me and Shaykh for now. Till next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ooh.